books. It's going to be less than 10. I'll give you the blanks for Roman numerals 1 and 2. And then we'll go right into 3. Our memory verse was Acts 4:12. So let's go over there in our Bibles, Acts 4:12. I'm going to trust the Lord to work in our midst. By the way, you want to be back tonight. The video, a sermon video, is What Impatience Does.
Ah.
And I tell you, it is a very, very good DVD. I've seen it already. Sam Davis does a tremendous, tremendous job in just letting you know the detriment of our impatience. Amen. And it is not a good thing. But he gives us a cure for it as well. Acts 4:12, let's turn over there. We're going to go ahead and quote that together, and then we'll get right into our lesson this morning. Acts 4:12. We're going to say the reference, and then quote the verse, and then the reference. Here we go. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4:12. Amen. By the way, there is no other name that can save other than the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, thank you once again for your goodness. Lord, work in us this morning that as we look forward to heaven, we might sense your prodding and your moving in our lives. We can be a witness to others that are around us. And Lord, they don't know the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, they know it in profanity. They know it in just casual words, but they don't know the saving power of that name. They don't know the saving grace of that name. So, Lord, I pray that you would arrest our attention this morning and help us to focus on the eternal. And Lord, to get our minds off the temporal, knowing that it is only for a short time. Thank you for loving us. Meet our need today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. We're in chapter number 10, Victory Over a Temporal World. This whole lesson deals with so many different things that we can get the victory over, the temporal world being one of them.
Hey.
Temporal world means that which is relating to the earthly life, this life that will soon end, as opposed to the eternal life that will last forever and ever.
Amen.
Can anybody grasp eternity? It blows our mind forever and ever and ever. I mean, even that which we see, this planet, was not forever and ever. The air that we breathe was not forever and ever, but eternity is going to be forever and ever. I can't wrap my head around that. You say, preacher, you're limited in your head anyway, but you know, that's beside the point. I just can't fathom eternity forever, eternally living. Never dying. That is just beyond me. My son was saying, Dad, do you ever think that we will get to the point where, like on these science fiction movies, they have that, what do you call that on Star Trek, where they get into that thing and they're over here. What do you call that thing?
Transporter.
Yeah, some kind of transporter. And I said, son, that is so far-fetched. I said, because they have to dismantle every part of your body, including your bones, and put them over there. I said, only God can do that, amen. I said, you're talking about the height of science fiction. I said, you cannot teleport yourself from here. I said, that's an impossibility. And he said, well, man is pretty smart. I said, they're not that smart. They're not that smart. I said, they can go quite fast in a vehicle, amen. But to talk about getting your body from here to there, that's not going to happen. But God can do it. The Bible says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to be changed. Amen. And so I am so looking forward to that. So victory over a temporal world. Roman numeral 1 was the reminder of life's brevity. The reminder of life's brevity. Life is brief. And, you know, we just have to look in California and see the fires going on there. Look in Las Vegas and see there that life is brief. Look at the hurricanes and lives lost there. Life is brief. A, God may call us home by death. B, God may call us home by the rapture. If I had my pick, I choose the rapture. Then Roman numeral 2, the reassurance of victory. The reassurance of victory. We found that victory is a gift last week. We didn't work for it.
Right.
If you work for it, it's not salvation.
That's right.
Amen. You don't work for salvation. It's a gift. The Bible says it's the gift of God. Amen. Then we saw victory comes through Jesus Christ. And so We have the victory. It is a gift, and it comes through Jesus Christ. Hence our memory verse, neither is there salvation in the other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Then we come into Roman numeral 3. If we're going to get victory over the temporal world, the response of a sincere Christian, if we're going to get the victory over this world, what should we do? What should we do? The response of a sincere Christian, that's Roman numeral 3. And then A, our motivation is positive. Our motivation is positive. And then B, the manifestation is measurable. The manifestation is measurable, and we're going to talk about some things there as well. The response of a sincere Christian. Knowing that this life is brief, the reminder of the brevity, and then the reassurance of victory. We have eternal life. We're going to heaven. It's a gift. The response of a sincere Christian. What should we do now that we know that we are not going to be in this body forever? We're not going to be in this life forever. It says here in the book, the church at Corinth was confused about the future. They did not understand what was going to happen regarding the believers who had already died and when Christ would come again. And by the way, when I first got saved, I was a little foggy in that as well. I had the misfortune of talking to some Mormons. And I was a young baby Christian, just gotten saved. And I was out witnessing, telling everybody I got saved. Happened to run into a Mormon in the military. He was a major. Of course, you know, I being enlisted, he's a major. He's smarter than me. He knows more than me. And he said, well, you know, you're going to have spiritual babies when you get to heaven. You get your own planet. And you and your wife going to have endless babies. And I thought, my wife is struggling with just what we got. You know, you're talking about endless babies. And I thought, yeah, and you're going to have multiple wives. I said, I'm not sure my wife is going to be up for that. And he began to tell me all this stuff. And I thought, and I got a little confused. I said, well, I know a little bit about my Bible, and I don't think what you're saying is right. And I went over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and started going down through that. And I said, now, sir, I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but the Bible says this. And you're saying that. Can you show me that in the Bible? And he said, well, I felt the same way at first. But you just got to pray about it.
Oh, yeah.
Why would I pray about something that's not biblical? So that I can try to convince myself that it is biblical when it's not biblical, because you can't show it in the Bible. And he said, well, I felt the same way. You just have to pray about it. He had that dazed look in his eyes. Just got to pray about it. And I thought, I'm looking at you and I don't want to pray about anything but getting away from you. Amen. I said, well, sir, with all due respect, I think you're wrong. And I said, I think the Bible is true. And what you're saying, I've only been saved but a couple months. And so I'm not a Bible scholar, but I knew what he was saying was erroneous. And I said, you know, as far as having spiritual babies, that's not for me. As far as my wife being pregnant for eternity, that's not for her. As far as me having my own planet, I wouldn't mind that if that's what God wants to give me. But you can't show me that in the Bible. And so, hence, we will have to part gracefully. Let me give you the gospel, and that's what I stand on. And we parted, and I never saw him again. Amen. But, you know, he was gracious enough to invite me to his home so that he could try to tell me some things and try to set me straight. Amen. The Corinthians were confused as well, so Paul had to explain the resurrection of dead believers and the rapture of the living believers in the Bible. And by the way, you go to 1 Corinthians 15. And that's where you find this at, 1 Corinthians 15, because they were confused about it. Let's go over there and let's pick it up in verse number. Let's see here. Verse 50, Paul says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So we need to be changed.
Yes, sir.
He said, cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We should not all sleep. Now, he's speaking to the church at Corinth. But we shall all be changed. Notice he says we. So he's talking about himself here as well. He says in verse 52, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. So all those that have died previously are going to be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So in this corruptible shall it put on incorruption, and this mortal shall it put on immortality. And then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And so that's where we're going to be. What this individual tried to do, he tried to use verses 35 through 50 to justify to me that we were going to have spiritual babies and we were going to have a spiritual planet and all this. And I thought, no. And as we stepped down there and kind of talked about that, it said nothing of the sort.
That's right, Pastor.
And that's when he said, well, you just got to pray about it. And I said, well, I don't think I'm going to pray about something that's not correct, but amen. Anyway, so the response of a sincere Christian, knowing that we're going to be changed and knowing that we're going to have a glorified body, one day we're going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven, what should we do? Amen. By the way, it says here, I like this, prophecy is not meant to be studied in the abstract. Some people become so consumed with finding out the future that they fail to make a present day application of the truth that they learn. So in other words, they get so enamored with Daniel, with Ezekiel, with Revelation, like, oh, the future. They start predicting days. Jesus is going to come here. And they don't do anything to daily live for Christ.
That's right, Pastor.
And so as a sincere Christian, our response should be, let's get motivated to do something for God. What is one of the main things that we ought to do knowing that eternity is coming? What is one of the main things that God left us here to do? Spread the word. Be a witness. That's one of the main things that we should do. So when you look at this, he talks about, A, our motivation is positive. And let's talk about that for a minute. Our motivation is positive. How many of y'all want to go to heaven? We're motivated, knowing that we're going to get there. Okay. Miss Bev was motivated to go to Italy. Now, now check out this statement. Heaven is more than a destination. It's a motivation. Heaven is more than a destination. It's a motivation. In other words, I know I'm going there. Bev knew she was going to Italy. So, Bev, what did you have to do knowing that you were going to Italy? Because you had a destination. What did you have to do? Just a few things. This is good for us, Carl. This is good.
What do you mean? A way for Alice to be cared for while we're gone and the dogs.
Amen.
Lots of things. Now, she had a destination. But now, because of her destination, she had a motivation. The motivation then had her do some things to get to her destination. So heaven is more than a destination. It's a motivation. Knowing that I'm going to heaven, I should be motivated to do some things. In other words, there's preparation.
That's right, Pastor. There is.
Now, we get saved, boom, just like that. And we can go to heaven right now just as we are. We understand that. But there still is preparation. Say, preacher, preparation, what do I need to do? Oh, that's why we're going to talk about that this morning. Amen. So heaven is more than a destination. It's a motivation. Much like we prepare to go someplace special, so also is heaven. It's someplace special, and we get prepared to go there. Hey, we went through the funeral yesterday. We didn't go in Bermuda shorts and sandals with, you know, like we're going to the beach. We prepared to go to the destination.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
We dressed accordingly. Now, there were some, I'm sure, that were there like that. Amen. But we weren't. Amen.
Amen.
So three things I want to get you and jot these down, if you will. We're going to talk about these here in just a moment. Because heaven is more than a destination. It's a motivation. This preparation is needed. Number one, preparation should be accomplished. Preparation should be accomplished. Now, what is the first preparation to get to heaven? Get saved. Okay, so preparation. So if there's a destination that I want to go to, then I've got to be motivated to do something. The first thing I need to be motivated to do is get saved. Bev could not go to Italy without a passport. They would not let her in the country. You've got to have a passport. Your passport to heaven is Jesus Christ. Amen. And his blood shed upon your life, repentance of your sin and receiving of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the preparation should be accomplished. I've got to get saved first of all. But then there's secondarily, not just preparation should be accomplished, but preliminary, preliminary preparation is the first one. I'm sorry. Preliminary preparation. But then ongoing preparation is the second one.
Yes, sir.
Ongoing preparation. I preliminarily prepare by making sure I've got access to the country. The country's called heaven.
That's right.
Bev's country was called Italy. Okay. Before I went to Belgium, I had to get a passport.
Yep.
And I've got preliminary preparations down. So preliminary preparations, salvation. Ongoing preparations should be service.
Mm-hmm.
Service. What are we talking about, preacher?
Service.
Go to Ephesians chapter 2.
Ephesians
chapter 2. Because we're talking about this destination, the response of a sincere Christian. Our motivation is positive. Ephesians chapter 2. And notice verse number 10. For we are his workmanship,
mm-hmm.
created in Christ Jesus unto what?
Good works.
That's service, which God hath before ordained that we should what? Walk in them. So the preliminary preparation is salvation. The ongoing preparation is service. The final preparation is when God raptures us out of here and we go home with him. 1 John chapter 3. Let's look at that real quick. 1 John chapter 3. Because we're talking about the response of a sincere Christian. 1 John chapter number 3. And in 1 John chapter number 3, notice what it says. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And notice verse 3. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is here. What is that? That is final preparation. I'm making sure that I do what I need to do to further sanctify myself unto the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is coming once again.
Pastor.
And say, preacher, why do we serve God? Because we are saved to serve.
That's right, Pastor.
No one is saved to sin.
That's right.
Amen. We're saved to serve. So those three things we want to be aware of. Preliminary preparation is salvation. Ongoing preparation is service. Final preparation is going to be sight. We're going to see him as he is. We're going to be in heaven. So the response of a sincere Christian, what should we do? It says, A, our motivation is positive. Why do we do for our children? Why do we take care of our children? We love them.
Yeah, we do, Pastor.
Why should we serve God? Because we love him. That should be our motivation. Our motivation is positive. We do for our spouses because we love them. We do for our children because we love them. We do for Christ because we love him.
Yep.
Now, why should we love him? He gave us salvation. We love him because he first loved us, the Bible says. Amen. You know, love normally is reciprocated. Amen. You love up on a child, you know what that child is going to do oftentimes? Love back up on you. If you're mean to the child, what's the child going to be oftentimes? Now, they're not going to physically be mean back to you, but in their mind, they're going to be like, I don't like you because you're mean to me. Amen. That you want me to hug you, and I'll hug you outside, but on the inside, I'm standing up against you. Amen. I don't know. But we love God because he first loved us, and as a result, he saved us. Amen. It says here, we should do what we do because we love the Lord Jesus. If we have false or wrong motives, we will not be faithful until the Lord returns. Ow. If I don't love him, I'm not going to continue to serve him.
Right.
Now, does our love wane sometimes, go up and down? Yes, it does.
Yes.
It does.
It does.
Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:14, for the love of Christ constraineth us. The word constraineth means to keep you in bounds. It says we should serve with greater fervency because of the love of Christ than we would if we were attempting to avoid punishment or disapproval. Let's talk about that for a minute. Your children will oftentimes do for you because they love you.
That's right, Pastor.
They'll get you a glass of water.
Yep.
They may bring you a cookie. They will do that because they love you.
Yep.
But another time they may do their chores because they don't want to get disciplined.
Uh-huh.
Or they don't want to get in trouble.
There we go.
But oftentimes they'll say, yeah, I want to give mommy a cookie, or I'm going to come over there and massage their feet. My wife said, oh, I'm in so much pain yesterday. And she said, can somebody come and massage my feet? And you talk about children dispersing quickly.
Wow.
And as they were leaving, they said, Dad'll do it because he loves you.
Yeah.
Said, well, you got a point there. I will do it because I love mommy. I said, but I will make a command decision and y'all will come and help because I love you. Amen. So, now, I did it because I love. They did it because they were told. And so there's a difference. You know, do we do for the Lord Jesus Christ because we love him or because we have to and we're afraid he's going to punish us if we don't? I'm going to go soul winning because if I don't, God's going to beat me. Well, that's not necessarily true. I'm going to read my Bible because if I don't, God's going to beat me. Well, that's not necessarily true. I'm going to memorize scripture because if I don't, God's going to beat me. By the way, all of those things help you more than they help God. Did y'all know that God doesn't need your help?
No, he does not.
He's self-existent, self-sufficient. He doesn't need our help. But he allows us to help him.
Yes, he does.
He allows us to get involved in ministry. And guess who is the beneficiary? We are.
We are.
We are. He allows us to help him. Yes. And then he says, I'm going to reward you for helping me. Amen. You can't beat that. You can't beat that. And so it says here that we should serve with greater fervency because of the love of Christ than we would if we were attempting to avoid punishment or disapproval. Now, I'm going to read the statement here because this is so true. It says Christian service is drudgery if it is not motivated by love for God. Let me ask you a question. Do you get more satisfaction out of doing for God because you initiated on your own or because you're trying to avoid God's punishment? You get more joy initiating it, knowing it pleases God.
That's right, Pastor.
I get more joy when I just come over to my wife and start massaging her feet than her having to ask me to massage her feet.
There you go, Pastor.
Why? One, I initiated. Once she told me what she wants done. Now, does God tell us what he wants done in the book? Yes, he does.
Yes, he does.
Then what's our job then? To initiate carrying out what he wants done. And then who gets the blessing? We do.
We do. That's right, Pastor.
We do. Now, let's keep it real. Let's keep it real. There's a verse of scripture. Psalm 100. Let's go over there. Psalm 100, because we're talking about our motivation is positive. We serve the Lord because we love him. Or we should. Psalm 100. And Psalm 100 in verse 2 says this, serve the Lord with what? Gladness. Now, if we're honest, let's keep it real. Sometimes we serve the Lord with sadness.
Yes.
I really don't want to do this. Let's just be honest. Come on, y'all. Don't look at me like, well, no, I would never say such a thing. You get out of here. Yeah, you do. Only when the alarm clock goes off in the morning, it's like, oh, is it Sunday? Yes.
Yes, sir, Pastor. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Much the same way we were. Is it Monday? Yes, it's Monday.
Yes, it is.
And sometimes we have the same feeling on Sunday that we have on Monday when it's time to go to work, if we're honest. Come on now, y'all. Work,
amen,
y'all.
Pastor.
You know it's
amen.
True. Wake up, and it's like the alarm clock goes off. It's like, man, I could be laying in bed dreaming
yes.
of golfing or fishing.
Oh, amen, Pastor.
Well, I got to get up and go to Sunday school and listen to Pastor. Oh, the drudgery and the pain of it all. Sometimes we feel that way. Let's just be honest. Sometimes
yes,
we do. You say, preacher, how do you know? Because I feel the same way sometimes.
Amen.
Got to get up today and preach.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Folks aren't going to respond to God. They're going to look at me mean. And I don't have to go through this pain today, Lord. Just take me home. So it goes both ways. I feel the same way sometimes. Oh, Lord, nobody wants to hear the word of God today. Is there no bombing Gilead for me today? Amen. And so we all go there. So we just have to keep it real. Sometimes we're going to feel that way. He says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. We sometimes we're like, Jesus is exalted.
Yeah.
Every knee shall bow to honor him. Praise
his
King of kings, Lord of lords, conquering son through all of these. He's my very best friend.
Yeah. Amen, Pastor.
Boy, God's really glorified with that. I'm really serving with gladness and singing. And well, boy, I'm sure doing that. Come before. Now, if we were in heaven, would we sing like that?
No,
you'd be a trap door may come up and let you out. No, it wouldn't happen like that.
Amen.
We're going to have a glorified body, so you don't have to worry about it.
Right.
But right now we got to contend with what? The flesh.
The flesh.
And the flesh does not want to serve the Lord with gladness.
That's right.
The flesh does not want to come before his presence with singing.
Amen.
Because we're moody.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Let's just be honest. And some of us are more moody than others. Yeah, ladies get that way sometimes. Men get that way sometimes. Children get that way sometimes. I watch my children sometimes. I say, hey, guys, come on. Help unload the groceries. Oh, yes, Dad. Yeah. Oh, no. Hold up. How many of y'all want to eat? Oh, we. Yeah, yeah.
There you go.
All right. The groceries have to get from car to
house.
Counter to cupboard before they get in your belly. Now, if you want to eat, I suggest you change your attitude. Oh, yeah, we want to eat. Let's bring in the ice cream. Get those vegetables, too. But at first, when you ask, it's like, serve the Lord with sadness. Oh, I really want to get the groceries out. But when you say, dinner time, hey, yeah, buddy. Yeah, bring on the dessert first. No, it's not going to happen that way. So he says, serve the Lord with gladness, come before his presence with singing. But if we're honest, that doesn't always work out.
Right.
Let me read a statement here. It says, there will be days when we don't feel victorious.
Uh-huh.
We won't feel like sharing our faith or going to church. Mm-hmm. On those days, we can ask the Spirit of God living within us to work in his power to keep us going forward. Because those days are going to come.
That's right, Pastor, it is.
You're not going to feel like being a parent that day. You're not going to feel like being a coworker that day.
Amen.
You're not going to feel like being a student that day, Antonique. Amen. You're not going to feel like doing whatever it is you got to do. Tasha, you're not going to feel like walking the dog that day. It's going to happen.
Amen.
I remember I would get up sometimes and my dog would look at me like, let's go for a walk. And I'd be like, go walk yourself. But I know if I don't walk him, I'm going to have a bigger thing to have to deal with.
Amen. Amen.
So it was in my best interest to walk the dog. So when you look at this, there's going to be those times we have to really get a hold of God and say, Lord, you know my heart.
Yep.
I really don't feel like it, but I know I should. And I need you to give me a thankful heart. And I need you to give me a servant's heart. And I need you to help me to please you.
Mm-hmm.
Because I really don't feel like it today.
Amen, Pastor.
By the way, did Jesus feel like going to the cross?
No, he did not.
What did he go into the Garden of Gethsemane and pray? Lord, if it be possible, could you take this away?
Yes.
I really don't want to do this.
Amen.
But what was the end result? Nevertheless,
he did it.
Not my will,
that's right,
but thy will be done. Folks, we can be honest with God. We can say, Lord,
yes,
I don't feel like serving with gladness today.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like coming before your presence with saying, I know I should,
mm-hmm,
but I've got these issues going on. I got these things going on. And Lord, it's so hard to come and praise you today when I've got this and the car and the job and the children and my health and the boss and the family and this payment, this bill. And Lord, I just don't feel like it. And Jesus said, you know, I really don't feel like going to the cross.
Mm-hmm.
But I will.
But I will.
But I will. He bore his feelings. Why did he do that? So that you and I could have an example.
Yes, sir.
That we need to be real with God.
Yes, sir.
Our motivation should be positive. But it's not going to always be positive. It's just not.
Right.
And we look forward to the day when it always will be positive.
Amen.
But today is not that day. No. Unless the Lord comes this afternoon.
Oh, amen.
I pray he does.
He could.
Our motivation is positive and it should be positive. But we have to come to the realization that sometimes it's just not going to be. The victory is ours through God's power that he provided us. And we can appropriate that power in our lives when we, in honesty, come before God and say, God, give me that gladness in my heart.
Amen.
Or give me that praise that I can sing you despite what's going on around me. Are we always going to have issues going on?
Oh, yes.
As long as we're in this body, we're going to have issues.
Yes, sir.
I mean, I don't. We have better days and we have worse days.
Yes, sir.
But there will always be days when things just don't go right.
Right.
And so our motivation is positive. But then notice down here, B, the manifestation is measurable.
Yeah.
The manifestation is measurable. When someone is excited about serving the Lord, we will notice it in their lives. Brother Sergius gave the testimony of this young 16-year-old that got saved over at Brother Kiefer's church. The teachers noticed the difference.
Amen.
When you serve the Lord with gladness, when you come before his presence with singing, people notice that. They notice that. That's a big difference. And so the manifestation is measurable. People can see when you are right with God and when you're excited about him. Go to 1 Corinthians 15, 58 again. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Because the response of a sincere Christian, our motivation is positive. We do because we love God. But then it's measurable. When we do serve because we love God, people see the joy in our hearts. Is it going to be there 24 hours a day? No, let's just be real. We're in the flesh. But people should notice that difference. Notice 1 Corinthians 15:58. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye, what's the word?
Steadfast.
The Greek word hedraeos, meaning to be firmly seated. God wants us to be firmly seated in our beliefs and our service to him. We need to know why we believe, and we need to know what we believe, and we need to stand in it.
Amen.
Are we going to always feel like standing in it? No.
No, we're not.
But we still should stand in it. Amen. Be steadfast, unmovable. By the way, one of the things that God asks for stewards is to be what? Faithful. He didn't say be perfect.
Nope.
He didn't say be sinless. He said it's required of stewards that a man be found faithful. Faithful. Do what you do faithfully. Amen. And love the Lord whilst you do it. Amen. Paul said to be steadfast. Notice the next word. Was it unmovable? The idea is to hold our positions with intensity. By the way, when you look at being unmovable, one of the things that you should get in practice in your life to make it unmovable, always be in God's word every day.
Amen, Pastor.
Every day. You may be able to get in there longer. You may be able to get in there shorter, mm-hmm. but get in it every day. You say, well, some days I don't get anything out of it. That's beside the point. Sometimes you go to work, and you don't get anything out of it. Amen. But guess what? You still should do it. God will bless your faithfulness. I've read over passages of scriptures for the last, how many years I've been saved? 26 years. Or so, and all of a sudden, a passage that I read over time and time again, the light bulb will come on. I'd be like, that's what that means.
That's what that means. Amen.
I mean, I looked up commentaries, I looked up this, and the Holy Spirit didn't give it to me until that one day, bing!
Bing, there we go.
I said, it makes sense now. That was the piece of the puzzle that I've been missing for the last 20 years.
Amen, Pastor, amen.
And it comes. So don't give up. Be steadfast. Be unmovable in reading. The manifestation is measurable. Amen. We must commit to holding firm our positions. He says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. There's our service. Amen. God wants us to be intense and committed in our beliefs, regardless of what others do, no matter how others weaken their doctrines. We must hold on. What are we talking about? The response of a sincere Christian. If I'm really serious about God, then I'm going to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I'm always trying to do more for the Lord Jesus Christ, not less. Now, might the quantity of what we do change? Yes.
Yes.
Look at Brother Duffy. Brother Duffy used to do a whole lot more quantity-wise.
Amen.
But his quality never went down. The quantity may have gone down, but the quality doesn't go down. So you may be limited. I'm looking at Miss Kirkland here. She's got, what, 6 children? I would probably guess when you had no children, you probably were busy as a bee in the ministry.
Amen.
But then child number 1 came and your abilities lessened in the ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Then 2, it lessened a little bit more. Then 3. It lessened. And then 4, it lessened. And 5, it lessened. And 6, you say, I'm retiring from the ministry. I'm not doing anything else. Amen. It's a full time being a mom.
Yes, sir.
It is.
It is, Pastor. Amen.
You know, I watch my wife and it's a full time ministry.
Yes, sir, it is.
And sometimes she says, honey, can you help me? I'm thinking, I can't do what you do. I come here and mess stuff up.
Amen.
Faith woke up this morning and she said, well, Dad, who's going to do my hair? I smiled at her. I am. Just yesterday, we were, getting ready for soul winning, and Mom was trying to get her hair done. Mrs. Dawson said, all right, Faith, now turn your head over here. And Faith was kind of, you know how girls do, you know, don't want to turn the head, right? And Faith said, I'll let your daddy do your hair.
Ooh.
And she said, oh, no, no, not daddy.
No.
Then this morning, who's going to do my hair, daddy? Now, you know it's bad when someone that doesn't have hair does hair. The practice is not there. But after I got done, she said, oh, Daddy, it looks good. I said, I'm glad because that's all I can do. I can't do anything else. Get to church and get one of the ladies help you out. Amen. You look crazy. But what I'm saying here, you know, we want to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord and never waning. And I use Miss Kirkland because sometimes our quantity of ministry may go down. But the quality should never go down. I may not be able to do as much as you used to do, But I still serve the Lord with my heart. I still serve him because I love him. I still serve him because that's a positive motivation. I still serve him because I'm preparing for getting to heaven. And my heart is in this. By the way, there's a reason why the Lord says serve him with all your heart, your mind, and your soul. Because at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, guess what? We're going to serve him the same way in glory.
Yes, sir, we are.
We're going to serve him the same way. So the response of a sincere Christian, it says down there, the motivation is positive and the manifestation is measurable. People can see it when you are still sticking with the stuff and abounding in what you do. It's a good statement here. It says, we are abounding in the work, abounding means to go beyond the requirements. Don't settle for doing the minimum. Employees who look for the basic requirements to keep from getting fired are not the men and women who rise to leadership within the company. Now, I've worked with those people and I work for those people. They just do enough to get by. And don't ask them to do a little bit more.
Right.
Oh, can you? That's not in my job description. I don't do that.
You're right, Pastor.
I'm just asking you to pick up that piece of paper on the floor.
Yes, sir, Pastor. Amen.
That's the janitor's job.
I have that responsibility.
Well, it's your job because you put it down there.
That's right, Pastor. It is.
No, that's his job. Really? Everything is, if it's not in my job description, I'm not going to do it. And working for people like that, that's tiring.
Yes, sir, it is.
Don't be the Christian that says, I'm just going to do what I have to do.
Uh-huh.
I'm supposed to be at church. I'm just going to come to church. That's it. I'm supposed to sing. Da, 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 da. Where's the love? Where's the liberty?
Amen.
I'm only going to do what I'm supposed to do and no more. Don't be the Christian
that
just says, I'm just going to do the bare basics to get by. I'm in heaven, that's it. I've talked to people like that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm saved, that's all I need. I'm going to heaven. Mm. That's a miserable Christian life. Don't you want someone else to go to heaven?
Yes, sir, we do, Pastor.
Don't you want to learn more about the Lord who saved you? Don't you want to know what the Spirit of God's doing in your life and what the Word of God is teaching? I'm saved, that's all. I don't need the Bible, I don't need it. Well, you needed to get saved.
Amen.
I don't need any more. Perish the thought that we would be like that. And so as we look at the measurability of our life, you want to make sure that you do go beyond, always abounding in the work of the Lord. It's the people who go above and beyond who receive the rewards. The same is true in the Christian life. By the way, are the rewards in the Christian life? Yes, there are crowns that you and I can receive. There's a soul winner's crown. There's a martyr's crown. There's a crown for faithful service. There's a crown for loving his appearance. And we're going to throw those crowns at the Lord's feet. And those crowns represent authority that God can give us. And we throw those back at him and trusting him. By the way, we will have responsibilities in heaven.
Yes, we will, Pastor.
Say, preacher, what are those responsibilities going to be based upon? What you're doing now. If you're faithful in doing something now, guess what? You'll be rewarded later.
Yes.
If you're not faithful now, how can God trust you later?
Right.
We're building up for eternity right now with what God is doing.
Right.
If he can't trust you with anything now, guess what? You're not going to get anything in heaven as far as getting into heaven. But God is going to give us different responsibilities in heaven when we get there. And your responsibilities are going to correlate with what you're doing now.
Yes, sir.
But wait, there's a caveat on that. It's not just busyness that we do.
Right.
What's the motive? Are we doing it because we love the Lord?
Love the Lord. That's right.
Or are we doing it for a reward?
Mm.
Are we doing it for recognition?
Mm.
Are we doing it for the glory for ourselves? Well, look at me. I can preach good, and so I'm better than you. No, that's not it. My goal in teaching and preaching is to please him who saved me. My goal in preaching and teaching is to equip those whom he puts underneath my sound of my voice.
That's right.
So that you can please him. Do I want you to please me? No, I don't want you to please me. Now, if in pleasing God, you please me, hallelujah and praise God for it. But I don't want you to please me just to please me. I want you to please God, because if you please God, then you'll do those things that are pleasing for me. Amen. But to please me and miss the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the wrong motive.
That's right.
And so our motives are going to be checked for what we do in glory. Go over to we're in 1 Corinthians. Go back to chapter number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And notice what it says down here. in verse number 13, dealing with the way we should serve the Lord right now. He says down there, verse 10, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation, another buildeth their own, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Talking about your Christian life, your Christian walk. For other foundation can no man lay than it is laid, and that's Christ Jesus. That is our base foundation, our salvation. Now, I've got to build on my salvation. He says, now, if any build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, those are good things. Wood, hay, stubble, those are bad things. Every man's work shall be made manifest or blatant. It's going to be openly seen. And then he says down there, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try or prove or test every man's work of what sort it is, or what manner it is, or what your motive is in doing it. He says, if any man's work abide, which he had built thereupon, he shall receive reward. Those rewards we can see in heaven. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer a loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So what does that mean? That means that you and I work right now for what we're going to get in the end. Okay? We don't work for salvation. Salvation is a gift.
That's right, Pastor.
Rewards are earned. We work for those now, and we get them later. But he says when we go to judgment seat of Christ, the trying fires of the Lord are going to be stoked up, so to speak. And God's going to test our motive. Why did you do what you did?
That's right, Pastor.
Did you do it for me? Did you go soul winning for me? Did you study for me? Did you preach for me? Did you teach for me? Did you raise your children for me? Were you kind for me? Did you do all these things for me? Or did you do it just for your own glory?
That's right, Pastor.
And he says they're going to be burned if that's the case.
Yes, sir.
And so we look at why we serve the Lord. And notice it says the response of a sincere Christian. What do? Our motivation is positive. We do what we do because we love God and we want to make him look good. We want to glorify him. And then the manifestation is measurable. People can see it. And God will reward us later. And by the way, I think there will be a lot of surprises in heaven. I think a lot of things that I've done will probably be burnt up because I didn't do it for the right motive.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure if you check your record as well, maybe some things that you didn't do were for the right motives. Maybe you raised your kids or you disciplined your kids because you were embarrassed with what somebody else thought. No, let's think about what God thinks.
That's right, Pastor. That's
what does God think? Well, they embarrassed me in public. Well, no. How do you think God feels? So everything should be for the glory of God. I work for the glory of God, not for your boss. We have a higher boss.
Amen. We do.
So what we do is for the Lord. Our motivation should be love. Our motivation should be love. Our rewards come later if the motives are right by God. Amen. Let's take this verse and let's meditate on that this week. And that's going to be verse number 14. If any man's work abide, which he had built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work abide or remain, which he had built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. And it's going to be the memory verse for next week. 1 Corinthians 3:14. And then we'll start up with the next lesson next week. But the main thing is making sure that we're preparing for heaven. The destination brings a motivation. We prepare for it. It's positive and it's measurable. Amen. Father, thank you once again that heaven is at our disposal. It's at our reach. We have it because it's a free gift. Lord, as we look at heaven, as we look at glory, help us to have the response of a sincere Christian. Our motivation should be positive because we love you. But then, Lord, make our manifestation measurable. Help others to see that we love you. And help us to do what we do, Lord, to please you. And knowing that we do have some rewards waiting for us up ahead in glory. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Dismiss us with your blessings. Bless the food next door. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
And amen.